Morning.
Morning.
So I just discovered that they keep a list here with all the birthdays opened up. I always wonder, do they check that every Sunday? No, it's right here in front of them. I didn't know. I think it was particularly fitting we sang He Lives. We have the privilege as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love us, sinners, condemned, unclean. And that's just a wonderful, wonderful privilege that we have. I'm going to ask you all this morning to turn in your scriptures to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. And I'm going to open up in prayer again in just a minute here, but I was drawn to the book of Colossians. It's been a good while since I really looked into it and studied it at all. And something that I noticed at the very beginning was that this was a book written not only by Paul, but also by Timothy. They wrote it together. And they were writing it to a group of believers that they had some very, very good things to say about. And that was, it was a really encouraging thing to see that, you know, Paul did not only write to assemblies when he needed to rebuke them, but also when he had some good things to commend them for and to, and then to further expound to them the wisdom that had come from the Lord. So let's open up in a word of prayer, and then I'll get started. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come before your throne once again this morning. We thank you for your Son. First and foremost, Father, we thank you for everything that he has done for us, Father. We just ask that you would help me this morning, Father, that you would lead me and guide me, Father, by your own hand, and that the words that are spoken from this platform this morning would be from you, Father. Father, we just ask that you would add a blessing to the reading of your word, Father. In your Son's most holy and precious name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to begin. Start reading in Colossians 1 here, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. In the book of John, chapter 13, verse 35, it says, by this shall all men know you, that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And that's the thing that he points to here, that he directs them our attention to here, is their love that they have for one another. And this is something that they've heard about, and they give thanks to God for it. It was a love that was clearly different than the love that the world has to bestow. When you're in the world, they want you to conform to them. And as long as you're conforming to them, then they'll love you. As long as you're giving them what they want, then they'll love you. You know, as long as you dress the way that they do and think the way that they do, that's when they have love for you. And it's something that we as Christians, we need to be careful of not desiring that love. In John 15, in verse 19, it says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So the world loves those who live in darkness, just as it does. And they desire to draw you into that darkness. When I was in college, my senior year, I had some roommates that were very regularly doing some things that were not only not okay on campus, but also illegal. And on a regular basis, they would offer, do you want to do this? Do you want to come and do this? Partake with us. And I was lucky enough to have the background that I had and also to have the amount of work that I had. That was not something I could afford to do, and to be honest, not something I even desired to do. And the Lord kept me from that temptation. But there's a desire that the world has, come into the darkness with us. John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So this was an extremely special love that they had. They had been brought out of darkness into light, and Paul was giving them commendation for this, and he was giving thanks to the Father that they had had this love within them. And then the love that they had was brought about by the hope that they had laid up for them in heaven. Verse 5 says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. This was a hope that was built around the concept of a marriage relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That was something that they were looking forward to, and that transformed their lives. They had a hope in a risen, living Savior that pulled them out of this world, that meant that they had set their affections on something that was above and not on the things of this earth. They did not need to focus so much on that, but rather on living in a way that would be pleasing to the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:7-8. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. This is something that I loved about the love that they had, was that this was something somebody wrote home about. He was so astounded by it that it just left an impression on him, such that he wrote to Paul and Timothy saying, this is the love that I'm bearing witness here. They have this love for one another. And the world around them could look at that and say, there is something different here. What is it that's different here? And that's a love that we need to have one for another in the body of Christ, that even someone we don't know from across the states, Jim Compt, I believe, told a story of going on a business trip to a different state, and he had been given some contact information of some believers out there, and the people he was working with thought that he knew a lot of people in that area because he was going to people's houses for dinner every night, because they just invited him. That was their hospitality, the love that they had, opening up. He didn't know them at all. He'd never been there before. But they opened their doors to him, and they showed him that hospitality, and that's the type of love. The world does not understand it. They can't understand it. This is a type of love that required a dispensation from the Lord to bring to us in many ways. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is where we begin to get into Paul desiring something for these people, and he's going to begin to expound to them a little bit about who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He has a desire for them to know the will of God and to be filled with the knowledge of that will. in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I don't understand what it means to truly understand the will of God, how we can even grasp that. And that's something that I seek to continue to grow in each and every day. One thing that we can do that's, you know, exceptionally helpful is to be in the Word. That is where God has revealed to us His will in many circumstances. It's somewhere you can't miss. There's a lot of things that we can trust in, but we can always trust in the Word of God. You can't miss that. And it's so important that we don't miss that as well. If we desire to grow in the will of the Lord. There are many really amazing examples in the scriptures of people being in the will of the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the penultimate example. As a child in the temple, He's teaching these old, wizened men. And then He tells His parents, "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" Something amazing here, a young 12-year-old boy in the will of the Father, doing the things that he must in the will of the Father. Later on, he's begun his ministry, and God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," showing us that the Lord Jesus Christ was indeed within His will. And all that time, He was preparing to go to the cross, once again within the will of the Father. So sometimes the Father's will brings us down hard, hard roads in life. I've seen many, many people travel hard, hard roads. And some of those roads end in the grave. But thankfully, we have a hope. And Colossians 1 is about that hope. So we have to watch ourselves. If we think that we're in the will of a Father, you know, we may be. Even if the road is very, very hard, we may be in the will of the Father. We might not be. That's why we have to watch ourselves. Sometimes you're just going down the wrong road and He's blowing on you trying to say, "Hey, you're not where you're supposed to be." But sometimes you are in the will of the Father. If you think of Job, he went through terrible hardship. He lost his family and everything that he had. I'm not sure that's exactly what the will of the Father was for him, but in some ways it must have been because he allowed it. If you think of Abraham, he left his father's home and he went wandering around into all sorts of places and through hardship. Once again, he was within the will of the Father. Of Moses leading a people through the wilderness for many, many years, within the will of the Father. And it's interesting, there was a time that he stepped outside the will of the Father and he destroyed a picture that the Lord had sought to create. And his punishment for that was that he would not enter into the promised land with the rest of the children of Israel. But we know that he is in eternity with the Lord today. And Elijah, we've been hearing a lot about Elijah lately, having to once again flee down hard roads where there's not much food or water, where he has to rely on widows. These are hard roads. They're difficult, dusty, dusty trails. And what's amazing about all of them is that the Lord sent these men, He seeks to send us down these hard roads to glorify Himself. And at the end of these dusty trails, what does He have prepared for us? Mansions in heaven, a golden crown at the end of these dusty trails. Continuing on, Colossians 1, verse 10. "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, and with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And ye that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. At the very beginning of the section that I read, verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul is calling the Colossians here, and us, to walk worthy of the Lord. And then he goes into this long list of reasons that absolutely nothing in the universe compares to the Lord. So how do you want us to walk worthy of the Lord? We cannot. Nobody compares to him. He says here, he's made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. By him were all things created. He is before all things. By him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. This is a list of things that can only describe the Lord of glory. Excuse me. And so, how can we walk worthy of that? We can't. And that's the beauty of the gospel and the mystery that was hid from ages and from generations, is that he came to make us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. Hebrews speaks of the fact that we are made joint heirs with him, who is in line to inherit everything. And he's made us worthy to be able to stand in his presence in that day. This is a man whom John the Baptist said, I can't unlatch his shoe. I'm not worthy to do that. And by the power of his blood, he's redeemed us and brought us into that relationship with him. He's made us worthy to be the bride of Christ. The saints of old, they didn't have that mystery revealed to them. This is something that was somewhat new. They knew that they had a Redeemer, that he would come one day and that he would purge humanity's sins. But Christ in us as the hope of glory, that was the mystery. And that is the amazing mystery that we can look to and say, this is how we are able to stand amazed in the presence. He's made us joint heirs with him, and through him we have power over darkness, Colossians 1:13, who delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. My brother Tom has mentioned before that there are hints in the Old Testament that there is power over sin. That is a concept that, until he mentioned it, I never even thought about it, that, wait a minute, we don't actually have any power over sin except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. We're totally unable to combat the sin nature within us. It's a part of who we are, except through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can't walk worthy of the Lord unless he's within us. And then, continuing on that thought, Colossians 2:12 says, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." So we must be buried with him. Baptism is a symbol of that death and resurrection there, where we are, our old man dies and we come up in newness of life. As children of the Lord. And this only happens because the Lord comes to us and he desires that we have a relationship with him. That's the whole reason that he gave us a choice in the beginning in the garden. I was listening to a Christian apologetic, and one of the questions that was asked him is, why did the Lord give them free will? And why does the language seem to indicate that he didn't chose not to write down history as though he knew what they would do? Because obviously he did. And the reason that was given was that a relationship in which both parties had free will is the only one that really allows for love. And the Lord knew at that moment in time that he was also going to send his son. He knew all those things. And he was going to send his son, and he was going to be the Redeemer in this relationship that he's created so that there can be love. And this is the hope that has transformed the lives of the Colossians, that has transformed our lives, that they are no longer walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In Galatians, I'm going to turn there quickly, chapter 4 and verse 22. It says, actually, let's start in verse 21. "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all." So, the picture he's showing here is that you have the son who's born after the woman in bondage, the bondwoman, and the son born after the free woman. And we have born after the flesh, under the law, contained by sin, where death and the grave still have a victory. And then we have, on the other hand, the free woman, and being born from that woman is being born after the Spirit, is being born free of the bondage of sin. I believe, eternally speaking, free from the bondage of sin and able to be partakers of that which is only after the Spirit. So they no longer desire to conform to the world, even though we oftentimes still do. We're still in the world. They no longer desire to conform to the world, but instead they strive to know the will of God and to conform to that. That is what their desire is. And Paul also desires for them that they know the will of God. And he never ceases to pray for them in that endeavor. So he's praying that their desire, the fire to know the will of God, that stays lit and stays strong, and that also that they would know that. Many of you remember Gladys Audane. When I was young, my mother took us to visit her on a fairly regular basis. And one of the things that we always knew about Gladys Audane is that she was a prayer warrior. She was in her nursing home. She was praying, praying, praying always. And that's a great example to us. There's lots of things in life that we can pray for, lots of needs that we have. But let's not forget, one of the needs that we have is the things like knowing the will of the Father, things like wisdom, patience. These are things that we should be praying for in each and every one of us, that the fruits of the Spirit would be shining forth in us. And Paul never ceased to pray for them in that endeavor. So let's continue on. Verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. This is a great exclamation at the end of the passage. He's talked about who the Lord Jesus Christ is, this man to whom nothing compares, the Son of God, the Son of Man, fully God, fully man. And this is who we're talking about. This is who we preach to you. This is the person that we lay in front of you when we come. This is the person in whose name we come to you and to the rest of the world. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not something, it's not like the dead idols of old. It's not something that's just written on a manuscript, but it's something that's alive. It's something that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in fact. Something that brings them the hope. It's Christ in them. It's something that is, it's quick, it's powerful, as Hebrews tells us. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide soul and spirit. Last week, we heard a little bit of a message about King Solomon's wisdom and how he was thinking about how everything in this life was vain. It's just all vanity. There's nothing that's meaningful here. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ takes all that vanity and actually turns it into something that is worth living. It's no longer just vanity. We have a hope. Something in the future. And it's something that is now worth fighting through. It's worth running the race to the end. Especially for Paul, somebody who went through a lot of physical hardship. He wanted, he desired, and he took some pride in running that race to the end. It was worth it to him. There was something there. And it was Christ in him, the hope of glory. So, I'm going to close in prayer now, and thank you all for listening. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for everything that you've done for us, raising us in newness of life, that you have done all the work, Father, from creation, redemption, glorification, Father. It is only you that can make us meet to be partakers, Father. That you have found a way to put in us a heart that seeks to know your will, to love one another, to live after the Spirit rather than after the fleshly manner, Father. Father, we just ask that you would write your word on our hearts, Father, and that some good would come out of the message today, Father. Just ask that you would all bring us all to our homes in safety, Lord. In your Son's most holy and precious name we pray. Amen.